You'll notice throughout the teaching of Jesus, he rarely referred to the need to go outside of time. Yet everything he taught pushed them out of time. He couldn't say to a Pharisee, "Don't you know that time is a problem? He couldn't say it to his own disciples at first. That's why meditation is so important. It is one of the truly great methods for leaving the sense of body. And that leaves a sense of time. Every time you go inside, find the inner kingdom, you don't realize that you have left time. And when you're in the timeless and all is standing still, just getting a little touch of heaven. Whenever we practice the timelessness of God, we're saying to an individual, if you're like God, then you're timeless too. But if you're living in time consciously and not taking a moment to break the spell of time, then you're going a different way than God is. And you're not the Son of God. Because the Son of God has learned that when the earth came into time, and he came into time, he lost his identity. He thought of himself as a being in time. And everything he did in time was a real denial of his identity. There will be a time when a man won't be thinking of his age. How old am I? He won't even know how old he is. And these are all early parts of the civilization that are the training ground for each reaching the realization of Christ. Now let's say that because you know that your destination is out of time, you'd say, well, what am I going to do about it? I can't get out of it. I'm in it. And that's the first thing that you'll have to do, is realize you're not in it. Until you realize you're not in it, you'll be in it. You can't be in time, because there is none. You can be in the illusion of time. And as you cross off the illusions that are involved, you get right down to the fact that there's no me in time. If I am I, then I am out of time, because I is Christ. Christ doesn't live in time. I don't have to lose my belief in time. I have to gain my understanding that Christ is my name. The doctor says, in 6 months you'll be better. And you map it out on the calendar, you check off each month. That's good and sensible. That's what a human being does. But there's one who is a stage past the human being who says to himself, the doctor says it'll take 6 months, but in my Christhood, I have a now self. And that now self is what I'm going to try to live in. My now self never gets caught up in time. My now self is always now. God is always now, isn't he? The miracle is true that God is always now, always present. Can I get to the point where I am always now? The Father says, all my qualities are your qualities. So there will be a moment when you realize that getting into your now self is not only possible, but inevitable. And yet the now self is just another word for Christ, the Christ self. Christ is not living in time. Christ is always now. The voice will come to your aid. The voice will take you and it will show you ways and means of overcoming the illusion of time. You won't know when it will say it, how it will direct you. You're at its mercy, but nevertheless, it will come to your aid. It will point out something about time and timelessness that no human can point out. There are many things in the voice that can surprise you. It turns out to be much more than a voice. It turns out to be an infinite force. When I think back, I asked Joel in 1963 if he'd be willing to see me if I came to Hawaii. He said, yes, come ahead, and I came. And while I was waiting to see Joel, either while I was waiting or afterwards, I really don't remember, but it was in a 2-week stretch because I was there for just 2 weeks. I was with him about 4 days, and strange things were happening to me. One of the strangest ever, there will never be anything more strange perhaps, is that after I located him and went to his house, he wore little khaki pants, shorts, and he was a small man, and I came into the other side of his two-family house. It was he owned both houses, and he was in a duplex on one side of it was his, completely without, that was his office, and that's where you met him. There was no furniture, just a place to sit. And in it he had 12 photographs of the prophets. At the time I didn't recognize many of them, but That's what was there. And we chatted about a lot of things. And he said to me, why don't you go into this work? And so, in time, I decided almost within 2 months that I'd have to do something about it when I got a call from one of his teachers telling me that she had been sent. She was to break me in, and I was to learn how to teach. But the thing that maybe decided me to go into it was that while I was with Joel, one day, the room that I was in disappeared. It just disappeared. And the figure appeared there. The figure was letting his fingers run over a wall which had flowers on it. The flowers were a little profuse so that you couldn't see the wall, but you knew they were there. The wall was there. And as the fingers went over the flowers, I suddenly became aware of the figure and who it might be. And I couldn't control myself. He looked like the figure we have all come to know as the Christ. He wore a gown. The gown was all the way down to the ground. And I didn't know what to say. I was puzzled. I wasn't in the picture at all. It was just he in the picture, doing this to his little flowers on the stone. And I looked at him and I just blurted something out. I said, will you have dinner with me? I know it sounded stupid, and I realized it as soon as I said it, but it was the only thing I could think of. But I'll never forget his reply. And one of you have asked me, what does the voice say? And this is what the voice was saying. His reply was instantaneous, and he said, anytime you ask me, I will sup with you. And I thought, does he speak Old English too? Anytime you ask me, I will sup with you. And that was all he said. And I just looked at him. And I still wasn't in the picture, only he was. And I never forgot what he said. And many a time, well, two or three anyway, I have asked him to sup with me because it became very necessary. That's what the voice will do for you. And I think because of that voice, which occurred while I was with him, when I was asked to go into this work, that was part of the influence working on me. In that period, there were 7 revelations. And the words came so fast, I ran out and got a notebook to copy them down. And even then I couldn't. In later years, I kept thinking back to this scene. And I don't know why, but it occurred to me that I hadn't looked down far enough to see his feet. And then I read that Blake, the engraver, his engravings were all with people flying around without feet. And I tried my best to look back to this scene. I never saw any feet. There were no feet there. The other revelations were important to me, but the point is that 7 revelations inside of a couple of weeks, and every time the revelations came, Well, several times anyway. The room disappeared. I'm sitting there and you're there, and all of a sudden there's no people in the room, you know. It's just empty. There's just a room. And I'm not in it either. And something happens in the room. And these are strange revelations. Well, certainly something was afoot. But the point is that each time I had these revelations, I was lifted out of time and didn't know it. There was no time when I looked at this figure in another world. I didn't know there was no time. But you see, you only get into the other world when there is no time. And somehow there was no time in my consciousness at the moment, and it took me right where I had to be to convince me to go into this work. It's most interesting to me. The point is that you can never know what is going to come to you when you're pursuing truth, and when you're on a, it's like when you got your gun and you can see, and then the target is suddenly there, and you got it in the cross of the whatever is the target finder. You know that's the time to shoot. And when you're talking, living, feeling the presence of timelessness, it lifts you into a place where nothing else is possible for you except what is outside time. And that's where you receive information. The information you receive can be depended upon. If you had to remain this way for 30 years before it happened, it wouldn't be worth it. Because in my case, it changed my life. And I think many people have had experiences of a similar nature. And you find in the long run that the change was a necessary one, something that opened you to a fuller realization of life. The timeless picture will come to you. And in the timeless picture, where suddenly you are powerless to change it, you're almost just a spectator. In that timeless picture, there's a message for you. I know it happens once, twice, a few times in a lifetime, but it happens. And it needn't happen that way. It can happen in many ways. Another story I like to tell occasionally is about that voice. When it comes, you're the only one who hears it. Nobody can hear the voice but you. But they hear a voice when they hear it, and nobody can hear it but them. It's inside. And it speaks exactly as a person speaks. And yet there's nobody there. So what is the voice? Whose voice? Did you ever stop and think whose voice it might be? I'd like to tell you who it is. The voice is always the voice of your own soul. Your highest self is teaching you You are listening to nobody but your highest self. The Christ comes through your soul. Your soul speaks to you, and then you hear it and you wonder. You just aren't up to that level, but it is there, and it comes down to your level. When you hear the voice, you're hearing the eternal voice, the voice that will never leave you, the voice that will always be there to guide you. And in moments of acute conditions where a decision must be made, where it's crucial, that voice that comes is the highest voice of which you are capable, and you didn't know it. And it never fails to tell you what human beings cannot see or do. Sometimes it comes from where you may be in 500 years. It's in your future, but it's in the presence of your true being. So there are miracles awaiting us, because at this level, everything that is extracurricular, extraterrestrial, is that sort of a thing. And what can you trust and what can't you trust? But you can always trust your inner being. So keep cultivating it. It will do things that will change your life. I know people who were instructed by the voice to make radical changes in their lives, things they would never dream of doing. And these voices always come, the true voice, always come from out of time into time. The recipient stands there open-mouthed and then goes about his business of fulfilling it or not. I have never had a case where I have heard that when the voice came, whatever it suggested was not a turning point in that life. And yet, there's also the false prophet. We have to be wary. There's people who hypnotize people. And then people think they're thinking what they're thinking, and it's just hypnosis giving them these thoughts. But if they had the consciousness to weigh them, the Master says, "My sheep hear my voice." Somehow you learn this is and this is not. You put your mind to it, you rest with it. And it always tells you to do God's work. It's always part of the divine plan. One way or another, God will reach you if you want to be reached with truth. Now then, what are we going to do about getting more of the timeless into our life in time? In the first place, you're dealing in your daily life with objects in time. Every physical thing that comes at you, the car you bought, the food you ate, it's all in time. So you've got to do something to get outside of time. Number one, we will have to be in constant meditation. That's a sort of a vigilance that keeps you on your toes. Some people meditate with their eyes open, which is fine, because it keeps them in contact with their higher self. And the beautiful thing about meditation is that you don't have to be meditating straight along through the day and through the night. 5 minutes of meditation, or three, or two, that makes a contact, easily covers 12 hours. Because in the quiet of meditation, you move much more rapidly. If you were to set up a standard, you'd find in a minute of inner meditation is worth an hour's effort in the outer. So a couple of minutes of meditation covers a lot, but you got to do those couple of minutes. And then the spirit goes before you. It's all an invisible world, all happening in such a way that the human mind can't conceive its reality. But if you remember now that everything in time, everything, is not God's, you won't be too surprised to find that there are sick people, that there are dead people, that there's all of these gradations of lack of life or minimal life, semi-life. It's because it's all in time. And even the office, that's in time too. The business world is in time. The political world is in time. The scientific world is in time. Even those things which are so good for us, all in time. And time is where whatever you're doing someday stops. Things come at you suddenly, out of nowhere. The sickness, the fire, they're all in time. Now, when they come like the fire, and you're a transparency for God, you register quickly this fire. First of all, it isn't spirit. But you register instantly, this fire is in time. Right where the fire is, outside of time, there is no fire. That's the power. The realization that what is there is not there outside of time. Outside of time is a universe of God, completely controlled, harmonizing, perfect. But in time, there is so much that happens between the kingdom and the world. The world mind picks up its concept of God's kingdom, broadcasts its concept to the world, with the world, broadcasts its concept to every human mind. And twice removed from reality, the human mind picks up the world concept. Away from the timeless. So you, putting your awareness to the test, can face disease and problems of any nature with assurance that they do not exist in reality. They only exist because they are a time structure formation. The world mind broadcasts time itself. Now we look at everything then, and we are translating a time world of good and evil to a world which is out of time, which is eternal, which has nothing but perfection. One is present. The perfection underlines everything around us. Wherever there's a disease, wherever there's a fire, wherever there's a flood, it's there in the time world only. The timeless world, the world of eternity, is right where mortal mind and the world mind are duplicating as much as they can of the world of perfection, and they're bringing it down to the level of human senses. And it appears to be unworkable. It appears to be deficient. It appears to be something that is not up to grade. But what appears to be is not what is there. If you take the whole world, what appears to be is not there. Not one iota of the world is there. But God's creation is where the world mind forms its concept of God's creation. And you're looking at the concept through your individual mind. But the creation of the Father is there. And the difference in seeing them and not seeing them is material consciousness cannot see them, and Christ consciousness can see the world that is. That's why we're building a Christ consciousness rather than the material consciousness we're in. And at the level of the fourth world, we're in the material consciousness. The level of the fifth, we'll be in the soul consciousness, which can see what the Father has placed around us. At times you're given the insight. And when you are in the Spirit frequently, the illusion is clarified. All the sickness you have seen in the world is not there. It seems to kill people, but the people it kills are not there. They are a concept that we entertain about what is there. In every way you're looking, where there's a person, there is an invisible Christ. I don't care how imperfect you may feel, your reality is the perfect Christ. And I didn't say it, the Father did. We are the perfect Christ in our reality, and if we think we're less, we're talking about our unreality. We're just wasting time living in the unreality when the reality is here. When you attain your Christhood, you'll find you're in the kingdom of no time. Until then, the eternal kingdom will not be yours, and you'll find time ticking away. And how you're going to get out of time is going to determine how you get into the kingdom. Let's give that some personal thought, some contemplation. I want to get out of time. I don't want to be marooned and imprisoned in time. In time, there's war. In time, there's robbery. In time, there's sickness. Be perfect as your Father with war, with sickness, with robberies. Be perfect as your Father. The voice of the Father doesn't change. How do I get rid of the war, the sickness, the robberies? I didn't put them there. How did you find them there? Well, there they are. What are you to do about it? Find your kingdom out of time. How do you find it? That Christ is leading you. Have you forgotten that we live by the Christ, and that we live by the will of the Christ, and that you are that Christ? It all comes back to the original lesson. The Christ of you receives the will of the Father, and that is the only way you can step out of time into no time. It's a pretty perfect universe, and it's well protected to prevent any impurity. You cannot enter it unless you have attained that purity which the Father placed within your midst. And yet, the Father is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. I, in the midst of the Almighty, I can take you out of the defects in time into the perfection in eternity. Many people think of death as inevitable. I hope before we have this final lesson that we can all meditate quietly on the knowledge that I will never die. Whatever is wrong is my concept. Maybe I have five illusions in one. But the Father has made me a perfect being. In fact, that's who I am, the Father. The Christ of God is the life of God. So there must be a solution for all imperfection. And we will say someday, probably before we end this class, that I believe I will never die. There is a self of you which is independent of all world conditions. You've never called it your now self, but it is. And now that self is present, perfect as the Father. That self is you, and the mortal self that lingers as a concept has to learn to surrender itself so that the self that is will take its place. There are some movements that will teach you how to make more money by going into real estate, make more money by this, and make more money by that. This is not that kind of a movement. This is a movement which teaches you how to look at the world that is not, and how to live in the perfection that God created. That has nothing to do with money, or achieving it, or achieving better health, or achieving any better circumstances, or living a carefree life. It accomplishes all that, but that's not its purpose. Its purpose is spiritual freedom. But it can only attain spiritual freedom by following the will of God in God's truth. Anytime we stray away from the will of God and lose the capacity to follow that truth, that is the will of the Father, we lose what we're trying to seek. But if you have the conviction within yourself that at the end of my road, it's possible for me to attain what God said I can attain, then you will. It's as simple as all that. Then you will. At the present, we're exploring every possible avenue to unveil that you are the perfect Christ of God, hoping that when you finally accept it, or you have, that you then live it in such a way that as Christ you go within to your Christhood and let God's will manifest itself after revealing itself. You should end up in the kingdom of God. And that's where we hope to meet again, in the kingdom of God. We have a lesson next . Let's call it I Will Never Die. And let's see why we will never die. Let's understand it. It's something we have never faced. We've almost assumed that we all will die. But when you know the truth so well that even if you appear to die, you know you won't. We want to get to that level of understanding. I think we'll try it tomorrow. Why I Will Never Die. That's the eye of everyone. Until tomorrow, I think we'll let it go for that. And tomorrow is... Well, we have tonight's lesson first. Well, we won't die tonight, then. That's a date. We won't die together. Okay. Thank you.